evening.
Good evening.
We're waiting for you, other.
Okay, I'm going to go on mute, Hano.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
I believe we're starting with verse 347.
Okay. I got a call a while ago. My granddaughter is coming with two of my great-grandchildren, so if I have to hang up.
Understood.
That'll be the reason. Okay.
Okay. Well, let us start, see what happens. Hashem Yehud Kut Shabarifu Ishkin Tebi Hilur Himud Hilud Hilur Himu. Layakta Lashem Yud He Bavavhe Biyehuda Shalim Bashem Chol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah La Sok Torah Mitzvah. Vahino Amadunai Elohino Alene Maseya Denu Kadane Alene Maseya Denu Kadanehu. Wela Tikshe Lachai Deha. Barnash Dacharihu Bechel Mea Ajan Rutin Nukrin Vahaikan Imeyal Mitchaman Minea Veolidin Levatar Veilen Ikron Nige Bene Adam Vela Mitchap Kan Ela Lidyok Ne Bene Nasha Velet Lon Sharaim Bere De Bere Shavi Alda Kativ Bishlomo Beho Kachtin Tiv Beshevat Anashim Uvni gay bene adam, the afilu kahai gavna, ruhin de kurim, ajan lin she, alma umita beran, minaihu, iolidan ruhin, the call home, ni gay bene adam, mi krun. This need not be difficult to accept, because even when a man is dreaming, female spirits often come, seduce him, conceive from him, and eventually give birth. These offspring are called the plagues of mankind, and take only the shape of humans. They have no hair on their heads. Excuse me. They have no hair on their heads because these offspring come from the klipa of the right, and hair is correct connected to the left. And of these, how Solomon said, "And I shall chastise them with the whip of men, and with the plagues of the sons of men." Similarly, there are male spirits that visit women in their dreams. Those women conceive from them, give birth to spirits, and all are called the plagues of mankind. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Yes, I have a question. Let's see if I can forward it. They're talking about spirits, but then they say they take on the shape of humans. So is that the shape of humans in the spiritual world, or are they actually in our physical world. In other words, to be seen with, in other words, would I be able to see a spirit like this? Would it be in the form of a human?
When you dream, have you ever dreamt of a spirit? You have a picture in your mind. It's a dream. The dream is of a human being shaped.
Oh, okay. I know you dream every night, but I don't dream. You know, if I do, I don't remember. But when I do have a dream, which may only be two or three a month, they really are. I really have a, you know, the spiritual meaning behind them. I usually know what they mean, or if I don't, within a few days, I do. But I understand when you put it that way. Okay.
Okay. But the verse is saying that the klipa of the light gives birth, but it's that birth is of a spirit that has no hair. And, you know, I think it's the grays that are described as having no hair, but I'm not an expert in the UFO sightings. Did I go on? Or did somebody
I don't ever remember having a dream about an entity with no hair, so I guess it's okay. My concern always is, what is your partner thinking of, you know, when you're having relations? You can never be sure what the other person is thinking, you know.
No, you can't. Actually, you can if you trust your intuition, but most of us are not that comfortable with our intuition that we feel comfortable enough to do that.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. If everything in the spiritual world is related to in Malchut, what is that saying about, like, with people with no hair, maybe people with alopecia and that don't grow their hair? Is that telling? Is there something? What is that? Is that part of that, like telling us something about the spiritual world?
No, it's telling us something about the person. The hair is very much part of face and hand reading.
I'm sorry, you broke up. Did you repeat it?
I said that the hair is very much part of face and hand reading.
Yes.
So it's not saying anything about the spiritual world. It's saying about telling us about that person and their character traits.
Oh, so like a few weeks back, we had a Zohar reading that had to do with the face and the hair, but it was dark hair.
Right.
It didn't go far enough.
We were just touching on one section.
Right.
And I'm not even sure we read it. I prepared it, but I don't think we got that far. But
yeah, it could be because I try to print what you have, and then I try to review what we've had before. I can do it, you know. I'm not always able to do that, but
understand.
And that's probably where I read it. And then you did do a class with us one time several years ago.
Yes.
When you introduced the thing.
I didn't get that far into the class.
No, we didn't. I remember that.
Verse 348.
Okay, one other thing. Naming them plagues of mankind. Is that maybe spiritual relation? I never know how to word them. With plagues in our generation? Or is that just a title that's given to them?
They plague mankind.
Oh, okay.
Their purpose, why they're created, is to plague man, to plague men and women when they're not doing their work. That's why they were created. That's what the meaning plague of mankind represents. Is it clear?
Well, I'm not sure if it's plagues as a verb or plagues as a noun. I guess because, you know, with the incense offering so linked to being an antidote or vaccine against plagues, which would be a noun, are saying that these spirits plague mankind, which would then be a verb. So I'm not so sure it is clear yet for me. It just might take some pondering, though. So
I think you'll find that the description is a noun, but it's also a verb.
Okay.
The phrase is the plagues of mankind. It's one phrase. That makes it a noun.
Right. Okay.
But the reason it's called the plagues of mankind is because it's an active infestation, so to speak. This spirit actively, as a verb, disturbs people.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what a plague is.
Right.
It's not a physical plague in terms of a sickness like the Black Plague. But it's a plague of mankind because the entity is there doing its work. And that doing its work is to bother men when they're not doing their work.
But it's more related to sexual improprieties, right?
More than likely it is related to sexual improprieties.
Okay.
Because it's created through sexual improprieties, the wasting of seed.
Right. The verse from 2 Samuel that is linked to Solomon, and I shall chastise them with the whip of men and with the plagues of the sons of men. I'm not familiar with that verse.
The verse that's mentioned in this verse, in this pasuk?
Mm-hmm. And the other night I woke up at 1 o'clock and didn't go back to sleep. And there was a movie about Solomon. And I watched it, which I thought was kind of strange. And then went back to sleep. So evidently I've got to look up Solomon. So I'll do that.
Well, this is not Solomon, it's Shmuel. So it's Samuel. If you look at the verse.
In English it says Solomon.
No, and of these Solomon said, but it's written in the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel.
Yes. Yes,
okay.
I know.
Okay. But if you look at the verse, it's saying, and I shall chastise them with the whip of men, meaning physical, and the plagues of the sons of men, meaning mental. But you need to study the verse to have a better Okay.
All right, thank you.
Let's go to verse 348. Batamea utlatin shenin itlavash adam kinuya beit habar veiteya beolid bar ukra shemo shet razad sofa Piatvan Pekitre Kalifan Rabbi Yehuda Amar Razad Ruha Teit Aved Leit Lavash Begufa Achara Pial Mahadahu Diktiv Kichet Li Elohim Zera Acher Tachat Evel. After 130 years, Adam felt jealousy of his wife, had intercourse with her, and begot a son whom he called Seth. This is the secret of the ordering of the last two letters within the 22 letters of the Aleph, Hebrew Aleph Bet. This is unique and different from all other sequences of the Aleph Bet, which do not end with these same two letters, namely Shin and Tav. Rabbi Yehuda said that the name Seth symbolizes the secret of the lost spirit, namely that of Abel, which was clothed in the earthly body of Seth. Hence, it is written, Elohim has replaced the Hebrew Shat for me, and has replaced for me another seed instead of Abel. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Is that telling us that Abel was a reincarnation?
Yes.
Was reincarnated with through Seth?
Yes. He returned as Seth, that's correct.
But this time from the side of Adam. Well, Abel was from Adam too, that's right. I'm thinking of Cain being from the side of the serpent. Okay.
Right. Seth was the first of the people born in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Cain and Abel were born in a different frame of reference in the Garden of Eden, and then they were expelled along with Adam.
Hello.
Yes.
So Seth would have been born with a twin, is that correct?
Seth? Yes, he was still born with a twin.
And who was that?
More than likely it was parts of Adam and Chava. Because Abel and Cain were the right and left arm of Adam, and their twins were the right and left arm of Chava. So Abel, that hasn't changed. And when Abel came into the world, he came in with a twin.
I haven't read that anymore,
but to me, I'm sure that's true.
Thank you.
Well, now that they're out of the Garden of Eden and in the physical world, was Seth born as a baby?
Yes.
Okay. So this idea of being born with an adult body was only while it was in the garden.
Correct.
Okay. Well, that must have been a shock, too. I mean, yes. We're getting a lot of them.
but even the idea that they were intimate because of jealousy, who was he jealous of?
Yeah, I thought of that, too.
And And what it's really also saying is that the order of the alphabet should be reversed, that the shin should be the last letter of the alphabet, not the tav.
Well, I would think it wouldn't...
It implies that. It doesn't say that.
Mm-hmm. But I would think you wouldn't want a letter that represents fire as the last letter.
Well, remember, the first letter, mem, is actually the middle letter of the alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
And then the aleph is the central column, the balance point, and the shin is fire. So I'm not sure that that's true, but it's also, it can be understood that way.
Well, we also wanted those three letters, aleph, mem, tet, so, to be truth, so... I think this is also Hashem's mercy. You know, that they're back together, they're having a human child, and...
Yes, it's all part of the plan of creation.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an interesting... In the Sefer Yetzirah, one of the first meditations is Emesh, Aleph, Mem, and Shin.
Yes, I remember that.
So, it's very much connected.
Right.
A lot of information there that we really have to contemplate.
Yeah, there is.
Verse 349. Wa'amar Rabbi Yehuda Keti Vayoled Bid Muto Kitsalmo Mashma Divin Acharanim Lahawo Bid Yokna Dileya Vida Bid Muto Kitsalmo Batikuna Didgufa Uftikuna Dinacha Biorach Meshar imad yamar, Rabbi Shimon mishmeya dirav yava sava, benin acharanin beita bekuta dizuhama nedinachash, behahu dirakez beyadihu. Sama el hawo gine achahawa bid yokna de adam the itema ha mart de hevel misi trahawa akehu avaltar vaihu lahawo bid yokna. Rabbi Yehuda continued by saying, and he begot in his own likeness after his image. This indicates that his other sons, Cain and Abel, were not after his likeness, but Seth was in his own likeness and after his image, both physically and spiritually. As Rabbi Shimon said in the name of Rabbi Yebasaba, the elder, Adam's other sons had been produced in defilement through attachment to the serpent and its rider, who was Samael. Hence they bore no resemblance to Adam, even though Abel, unlike Cain, was from another side of purity and not from the side of the serpent. Neither had the form of Adam. They both lack the central column, which is the form of Adam. Abel was from the right side and Cain from the left. Hence, they were not created in the likeness of Adam. questions, comments, thoughts?
I would think that would have pleased Adam and Eve.
Of course. But I think this is a fairly clearly said verse, mm-hmm. don't you?
Right. But when I tell you that, you always say, oh, but there's more, so I don't say it anymore.
Well, I don't mean to intimidate you. You should always say things.
You don't, but I figure if we don't say anything, you know that that's what we mean. Either we totally don't understand it, and we're pondering, or it seems pretty clear.
Right. No, I think it is really clear.
Yeah. But, you know, we wouldn't have gotten all this just from the Torah.
No, that's why you need the Midrash. You really do.
Right. I mean, and Cain and Abel, and this really does open up a lot more meaning.
Yes, it does. And of course, we need the Zohar. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Well, let's call it a night. And the class tonight is going to start the preparation for Passover.
Okay.
Rather than the beginning of Zohar. I looked at the calendar and what we have to cover. So
okay.
We're going to start with that. Hope to see you then.
Okay.
Thank you. Shalom.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Bye-bye.